You are listening to The Scroll, an audiobook about Ecclesiastes written and read by Vance Neudorf. Chapter 17, Part 1. A dizzy spell washed over Kohelet as he got to his feet. Gripping the edge of the desk, he eased himself over to the window and looked into the street. Eli smiled up from the shadows below. "Ah, there you are. If you feel up to it, I would like you to join us for a short while. My booth is done, and I have a place for you by the fire. You could help me cook our supper. Two are better than one, as you always say." Kohelet shook a finger at him. "You are using my teachings against me." Eli grinned. "That's because it works. How can the wise refuse their own advice and still be considered wise?" "I'll be down shortly."
"I'll wait for you here. And bring that scroll you've been working on. You can read it to everyone in the booth tonight."
Kohelet nodded and returned to his desk. The warm evening breeze had already dried the last strokes of his pen, so he rolled up the scroll and tucked it under his arm. Benjamin would not be happy to see it outside, but the scroll was a perfect companion to a feast that celebrated the brevity and fragility of life. The Feast of Booths celebrated the frailty of all human endeavors, for you could not surround yourself with your achievements from the year, but rather with only friends, laughter, food, and wine. He felt his way down the darkened stairs and out to the moonlit street. Eli held out his arms and embraced him.
"How are you feeling, my friend? Is your heart bothering you?"
"Oh, let's not speak of health problems tonight. You and I are old dogs, but we are alive, and as they say..." Eli chimed in with him.
"A live dog is better off than a dead lion."
Eli tipped his head back and howled at the moon. Two dogs barked back at him from up the plaza. Kohelet slapped Eli's back. "You'd better be quiet, or these old dogs may be fighting for their very lives." Eli took his arm.
"And this one needs to eat. I'm not sure how many people will join us this year. The problem with getting older is that there are fewer of us, and the younger ones don't come around as much. I think we make them uncomfortable, a reminder of what will certainly come their way."
Arm in arm, they approached the green glow of Eli's booth. Eli always filled his booth with light, and this was a visible statement of his philosophy of life. Olive oil could be burned in a lamp, or it could be saved for food later on. Eli chose to use his limited supply to push back the night and expend the day for a time of celebration. There were others who were conserving their resources by not making a booth. It was too much effort for something that was going to dry out and be thrown away. But that was exactly the point. It was important to celebrate life while you had it in your grasp. You could not hold on, for everything would crumble to dust and blow away in the wind. Thick rugs covered the pavement stones, and the perimeter of the booth was piled with cushions, even more than the previous year. The brazier glowed off to one side, and beside it was a low table, piled high with vegetables and fruit.
"Look at these!"
Eli held up a large eggplant, its glossy skin reflecting the light of the lamps.
"I had to buy these from Reuben, because mine did not arrive."
He gestured out the door toward Reuben's darkened stall.
"Personally, I think he bought out the entire supply so he could increase his prices. I would bet he's at home, counting his coins as we speak."
Kohelet took the eggplant, examined its den, and squeezed it gently. "It's a good one, even though it came from Reuben's stall." Eli shook his head gently.
"It is a gift from God to us, no matter what hands may have brought it here."
He held one up to the stars, which twinkled through the palm fronds overhead, and his mouth moved silently before he bent down to place the eggplant on the coals. He pointed to the one in Kohelet's hand.
"Let's roast them all, and also the tomatoes and the garlic. I'll go inside and get the bread ready."
Kohelet tucked his scroll away in the corner of the booth and pulled a stool closer to the fire. This was one of his favorite dishes. Fresh vegetables were slowly roasted over the coals until the skins were blistered and black. Then everything would be peeled and mashed together into an exquisite combination of flavors. After a bit of salt and pepper for seasoning and a few eggs to bring it all together, everyone would gather around, breaking bread and sharing from one common dish. It was a meal fit for a king, and yet a king could never fully enjoy it, for he always ate from a separate dish to protect himself from his enemies. Kohelet chuckled. Once again, the poor ended up enjoying a better life than the rich.
"I thought I smelled garlic roasting."
Esther stood in the entry to the booth, hands on her hips. Kohelet smiled. "I hoped you'd be joining us. I noticed you did not put up a booth this year, and I'm guessing that's where all the extra rugs and cushions came from."
With no husband and my children gone, it's getting harder for me each year. Eli suggested I join him instead.
She walked through the tent and disappeared into Eli's shop. Kohelet nodded to himself. This past year his friend had been talking a lot more about Esther. Perhaps the old dog hadn't given up on romance just yet. There was a proverb about how old men were like grasshoppers, whose bodies drooped and for whom physical intimacy was no longer possible. He had quoted it once to Eli, and his friend had told him, "That's not a problem for me, at least not yet." Kohelet nodded wistfully. He was glad for Eli, but the thought of having a loving partner in your life brought his unrealized longings back to the surface. Unlike his friend, those days were completely lost to him. He shrugged. There was no use fixating on the past. This was a time of celebration, and he was happy for Eli. He turned his attention back to roasting the vegetables. The aroma of roasted garlic filled the air, attracting those passing by. A brightly lit booth created a greater pull with each new person that entered, for the conversation would get louder, and people from booths down the way would wander in to check it out. Like moths drawn to a flame, the crowd would grow until the flimsy booth shook with the noisy celebration. It was good Eli had enlarged his booth, for many had heard about Reuben's bid to buy Eli out, and they all wanted to stop by and encourage him to stay open. Amid the jostle of people filling the tent, Kohelet saw Eli retreat into his shop, where he polished an apple until it gleamed in the light of the lamps. A smile touched his lip as he carried it over to Esther as if it were made of gold. She smiled up at him, and Kohelet noticed how her hands lingered on Eli's while she took the apple from him. Eli came back to Kohelet, and his smile was even broader. Kohelet raised his eyebrows as Eli sat beside him. "So, now it's the man who's tempting the woman with fruit. The Garden of Eden has finally come full circle." Eli put a finger to his lips, glanced quickly around the booth, and shrugged. "I told her about my offer from Reuben. She suggested she should partner with me in the fruit business. She would stop selling fish, and we would expand into her shop and give Reuben some real competition. It could be fun." Kohelet nodded. "Yes, a partnership with a kind-hearted woman like Esther could be quite pleasurable." Eli gave Kohelet a playful push on the shoulder. "It's just that Esther is tired of dealing in smelly old fish. She would rather have the taste of sweet fruit." Kohelet leaned in closer to his friend and kept his voice low. "That sounds like a verse from the Song of Solomon." Eli blushed and stroked his beard. Kohelet gave him an elbow in the ribs. "I am happy for you. Esther understands how to make life sweet. She would make a good companion. And as God said, it's not good for a man to be alone, especially one who isn't dragging about like a grasshopper." A laugh burst from Eli, and the people glanced over at him. Eli stroked his beard and relaxed back into the cushions to chuckle quietly to himself. Kohelet leaned back beside him. Romance flowed from the Creator's original intent for all mankind, but Adam and Eve had been the only ones to experience romance in its purest form. They had loved without any thought that an unkind word from their mate could pierce their souls and crush their spirits. In the creation story, after acquiring that terrible knowledge, Adam and Eve had made coverings for their bodies to hide their intimacy from each other, for they now felt exposed and vulnerable before their partner. Later, they even tried to hide from God in the trees of the garden. Kohelet looked up through the palm fronds of the booth at the clouds passing by. It was impossible to hide from God, but he could understand the motive. When you possessed the knowledge of good and evil, you knew without a shadow of doubt that you had harmed others and would do so again. Unlike God, people could not hold the knowledge of good and evil without acting upon it. The full moon came into view, and he was taken back to an evening many years past when his mother had called him to bed. It was one of the few memories he had left of her, for within the month she had died, and Simeon had taken him in. The sorrow of those faded memories stirred his heart, but his distant thoughts were abruptly pulled back to the present, for Eli was on his feet, clapping his hands for silence. You've been listening to The Scroll, Chapter 17, Part 1. You can find more at artofwork.ca, bringing ancient wisdom to life. Thank you for listening.